Oh, the old song coming in. See, I'm saying that because I don't know what this. I know the song is happening, but we're not listening to the song.
It's like there. Someone put it in.
Yes. Welcome, everybody, back to yet another, finally, Face Rocker podcast.
Whoa.
It has been how long since our last one? Has
Three
it,
have and been a count- half. Many moons.
Have you been counting years. It like an alcoholic?
Who?
You, Matt.
The 200 people who listen?
That's true. But the 200 yeah. people who listen, they are a rabid 200.
And thank you so much, because we expect you're here with us right now.
Yeah. I feel like we owe these people an explanation really quick about what's going
on.
First of all, but before
anything.
We do
this.
I don't know. No one. Nothing.
Before we do that, let's real quick introduce ourselves. This is Freddie.
This is Dez.
This is Matt.
So we're running a little lean today.
And different. There's only two of us, and then Dez is a new guy.
Yeah, Dez is, well, no, Dez
he's
been
on it twice or once.
As a guest.
As yeah. a guest.
And now he's going to be more of a regular. You may have surmised that there are some changes going on behind the scenes over at the channel, at Rocket Jump, all that stuff. We're in the midst of all that. More details forthcoming. But Logan's actually coming in later on tonight. He has his own podcast that he's going to be doing, focusing
on. The Futurist.
He realized that he was the most popular part of Face Rocker, and he just stepped out. He's like, no, guys,
out.
You do it on your own.
Well, I mean,
I'm going to do my own thing.
Yep, we didn't sign him to anything.
Yeah. So we'll be having
a free
him
bird.
As a guest.
He'll be coming when he can, but you're going to have to deal with a more boring podcast.
You know, I mean, he may be here shortly. No promises, but
that's true. If he shows up, he's going to come in, and that's
essentially just it'll be the three of us and then a guest at times if we can have one.
If anyone wants to speak with us.
So the question that we've been getting and something that we should probably, and we'll be making clear over the next few weeks, is what is Rocket Jump? What the heck is that? Well, Rocket Jump is an entity that so far
good
so
start,
good.
Freddie. Start.
Myself, Matt, Dez, are a part of. We're doing YouTube stuff. Brandon's also doing YouTube stuff. It's all going to be on the same channel. We also are going to be doing stuff on our site. We're going to be doing podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. So long story short, it's just going to be a whole lot more stuff of different kinds coming at you. So
stuff
you
know, that we did on VGHS and Face Rocker podcast, all that stuff, we want to do more of that.
Bigger, better,
stronger,
and more
faster,
of it.
More details of that forthcoming, of course, but we have been busy. We've been busy prepping Video Game High School Season 2, which we just finished shooting the end of last week. So yay.
Yay.
Correct. Round of applause. We're now diving into post-production. We're aiming to get all six 25-minute long episodes, so 3 total hours of rockin' good runtime. We're aiming to have all those episodes done by July, somewhere in there.
And yeah, we're around Comic-Con time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And some people may not know, but post-production means a lot of Dez here, because Dez was the editor on Season 1 and is the lead editor on Season 2 also. Mm-hmm. So that's where Dez
We have a good friend,
from.
Ben Waller. You've seen it in some of the videos. He's going to be assisting this year.
Yep. Anyway. Information dump
enough
over.
Of that crap.
Enough of that crap. I'm
Stop
bored.
Talking.
I want to get right back into it as if we had never stopped, as if we never took a 6-month hiatus or however long it's been.
It's like been a year and a half.
One last thing. If you folks are, I assume we're going to put this up before this, but if you folks, anybody at PAX East this weekend in Boston.
You already went there.
We're going to, either we've already been
we've
there.
Just
come we've just
back
come back
from
or,
Boston.
Depending on when this is uploaded. But we're going to be there Saturday. And we're going to have a panel with Kickstarter. Kickstarter invited us because we had, past tense, had one of the most successful film video. Film video Kickstarter. And
by
then,
something called Veronica.
Mars.
What is that?
Mars.
Never heard of it.
You never heard of Veronica Mars?
No, what is that?
Wait, you've never heard of Veronica Mars?
No, I'm pulling your leg.
He lived with me.
That's true.
I made Benji watch it.
There isn't a show Neptune I haven't
High
heard
forever.
Of. Matt took me through TV criticism 101 through 16,000.
Well, you know, I was actually thinking about that. Like, what other properties could actually pull this off?
Party Down.
At Kickstarter. Party Down.
Pushing Daisies, the guy wants to do it.
I always thought Serenity could do it if they could
get
it
I definitely
back.
Would if they could get the people who
were there enough Dollhouse fans? I think people were a little upset that that
no,
was
Dollhouse
truncated.
No, but they ended it. Okay. He combined like the last three
it's
seasons
over.
Into one season. It's
By the
a real
way,
ending.
I just want to throw this. It. I just want to throw this out. You guys at the listening audience at home can't see this, but it has been a few months, and Matt still has not corrected his mic addressing. It's pointed down at his crotch right now.
I tried, and it's sagging. That's why, if you notice, I'm slowly
here. Just lift it up. Oh God,
I'm slowly
just lift it up and tighten it. Righty tighty, Matt.
No, I know how it works. It's going to sag again. That's why I've been. If you notice, my posture has been slowly getting lower to follow the mic because it's been sagging.
Oh gosh. All right. Well, anyway, good work. Jimmy makes a good note. Battlestar Galactica probably could get away with that. Although they're,
ended.
Now, hold on. Now, Battlestar Galactica is doing, I think, a horrible, horrible direct-to-web, which is almost worse than direct-to-video at this point, right? Mm-hmm. It's a direct-to-web spinoff on Machinima. Blood and Chrome. It looks like
I'm a
ball
big
sacks.
BSG fan, and I couldn't get past the first episode.
It looks like ball sacks. It looks like you took ball sacks in front of a green screen and then took out the green screen and put digital ball sacks behind the ball sacks. How bad was it?
Hold on. You just sold
anything.
Me on this.
Resident pervert. Des is definitely down.
I didn't see any nudity, but it didn't look very good.
Well, it's because they're doing all this in front of green screen and they don't have anything real in frame. So it's all like just, and then they're like, how do we disguise it? Guys, I got an idea. Lens flares. Let's just do nothing.
There is lens flare city.
It is ridiculous. It looks horrible. Anyway, so we're going to be at PAX East. Come by, stop by if you see us, or if you already saw us. I'm not sure. This is so weird.
Or if this already aired, just wish you had seen us.
Yeah, we're going to be actually speaking. We're going to be speaking on a panel with the guys who made Cards Against Humanity 2:00 in the Kickstarter room. Not sure what that is. But anyway, if you're in PAX, check it out. One of the things I want to talk about, this last weekend I played a little SimCity. Good Lord. Mm. That game is like, it could have been, it's one of those games that's like, it has things that are good about it, but it's pretty badly broken and it's pretty crappy.
I mean, I'm really upset by that. I've been looking forward to the new SimCity for
apparently you have, and a whole bunch of people they didn't anticipate had as well, because how do we get to a point now where it's like we couldn't anticipate? Our launch servers couldn't handle all the connections.
I heard the one of the biggest issues is they didn't allow a preload on Origin, so once it hit midnight or whatever, every single person
just
had to download the whole game.
But the content servers can't be what the gameplay servers are.
No, I suppose that was one of the big issues.
One of them. Yeah, and the other one is also, it's just, it was so bad that they've, so that, you know, SimCity has, you know, three speed levels, right? Mm-hmm. Llama, and Cheetah Speed.
Yeah, you can't do Cheetah Speed
Cheetah Speed. Cheetah Speed is actually the same as the mid speed. I don't know. It's just strange to me how badly you can botch this up. And it's just like every single thing. It's like watching a train wreck in slow motion. Every single thing that comes out.
It's really unacceptable. And you would have thought game companies at this point would learn to just not do that shit. Just not do DRM and not do always online. No. And they specifically, there's a great quote where they're like, after the Diablo thing, like, aren't you concerned about Diablo?
Oh,
the
Diablo and thing? They're like, Diablo, we're going to rock Diablo.
We learned
we're
from
destroy.
Their stuff.
Yeah.
And the fact is, they're unimaginative, greedy, and don't know what they're doing at this point, and it's getting ridiculous. Ubisoft, EA, and then the worst part about it was their cover up of is also innovative.
Oh yeah, yeah. Don't worry, guys. It's all part of the grand plan.
It's worth it because we literally need thousands of computers on some island to calculate all the magical shit that's happening in this new game. And some hacker's like, you could literally, 30 minutes, give me 30 minutes, I can take this offline.
Well, it's a single line of code. It's two lines of code that check for it being online. Everything else is
It's unacceptable, and they deserve all the garbage they get.
So that aside, which I think is one, it's hilarious, and two, it's just ridiculous how long it's taking game companies to figure out, like, don't make a product that the pirated version is a better product
than
your $60 product. Like, without
that's how you fight piracy. At the end of the day, look, we don't need to argue the ethics of it. At the end of the day, just make a better product than the one that's being pirated. And if you can't do that, it's probably an issue somewhere.
The funny thing is, so John Riccitiello, I think, is the EA CEO who stepped down this week. And it's hilarious to me to see how many people, especially on Reddit and stuff, they're like, it's probably because of SimCity. It's like, really? Really, the CEO of a major company decided to step down because of one game that went out? That's not a decision that he made months in advance and has been talking about the board with? Really, it just happened to be just SimCity, huh? And everyone's like, yeah, we did it, guys. We made the CEA. See, we made such a noise that the EA CEO stepped down because of us. Like, really, guys? Really? To me, it's like,
he probably stepped down because he got a job at, like, Nike or some shit. Like, that's how it works.
Like,
they don't just,
what? I just don't understand.
This isn't Japan where, like, a CEO steps down because they shamed the company or something. That guy would sit there writing on his piles of cash every day while you guys are complaining on the forums, not giving a shit. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. And it's as if, I just don't understand what is the world that the people, sort of the chronic complainers. And here's the problem. This is my big problem with, like, gamers in general. It's like, it remembers, like, the Left 4 Dead 2 thing. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody complained. Left 4 Dead 2. Oh, this is so ridiculous that they're putting out another Left 4 Dead this year. They said that they were going to do it. It's like, well, guys, one, it's it's a product that you don't have to buy. Matt, I think you said this once, and you're like, this is exactly the problem, is that gamers
feel they need to buy it.
No, they've already made that purchase. They've already
in their heads
bought Left 4 Dead 2, and now because they've done that in their heads, they feel like they can complain about
they
it.
They feel it's entitled.
One of the best screenshots I've ever seen was the Left 4 Dead 2 like boycott group on Steam, and it's just like, you know, thousands of members, oh, hate Left 4 Dead 2, we gotta send a message to Steam, and we gotta send a message to Valve that this is unacceptable. The day Left 4 Dead 2 comes out, you can look at what they're playing, and it's in-game, Left 4 Dead 2, Left 4 Dead 2, Left 4 Dead. Everybody was just in-game. And it's like, it's this weird thing where it's like, there's not enough games that are coming out so that everybody feels so beholden they have to buy it, they have to get their fix for games, and they can't just let it go. That nobody ever votes with their dollar. Nobody just sits and just like, you know what?
I'm not going to buy the new Gears
of War.
Because there's I don't know. I don't like the new multiplayer mode or something. They'd be like, I got to buy it, and now it's Cliffy B's fault if it's not the game I want.
Right, exactly.
You already got my $60. Why isn't it the game I wanted?
Yeah.
They don't owe you anything. Don't buy the game.
No.
It's insane.
No. We've already bought it, and therefore, because I bought it, I'm entitled to complain about it. It's pretty nuts. And
it's a good way to start a podcast, but let's just make fun of gamers
and ranting. Well, this is something that's built up over the last few months, ranting about this. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to rant about my Aliens Colonial Marines.
Yeah. Dez is one of the people who bought it. Big Alien fan.
There are like four of us.
Well, it was great.
I saw three of them in line.
You're not really a gamer. So you don't really follow the news. And I remember you told me you bought it. I was like, oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Dez.
I don't read the game logs. I'm pretty bummed.
So how much did you play of it?
Well, I bought it when we were filming VGHS, so I got about 4 hours in.
Well, it's almost like the whole game, I heard. It's like a 4 hour game, pretty much.
Yeah, you're done. You already got it. Oh. I worked on that at Fox. Mm-hmm. When I was at Fox, I worked on Aliens Colonial Marines, and Gearbox did that one.
But you and Logan was there at the
Logan
time,
was there
right?
at
well,
the time,
not really
too.
Working on it. You like went to well, go we see the, if they well, were yeah. working on it. What's
right,
your job?
Tell me what you did.
Well, here's a story. First of all, Alex, I think Matt's a little bit hot there, so I'm going to probably bring him down just a tick-tack.
Iced tea would be nice.
Alex is he
Alex
helped us out.
Bring some iced teas.
Alex Alex Reeves, the unstoppable Alex Reeves, recording engineer. By the way, I should note if this sounds really good to you guys, it's because we're recording this at Alex's studio, his recording space.
Rocket Jump is new.
We're no longer on Freddy's couch, baby.
Yeah,
accidentally telling everybody what street I live on. When I was at Fox, we had the Aliens properties, and my job title there was production coordinator, which essentially meant that we basically looked over these licensed games and made sure that they weren't like putting in Aliens and like doing like a Ripley's likeness and it's totally off.
Protecting the brand,
which is pretty boring work, but it's interesting because you get to see some stuff. You get to see the game design process. You learn some things. Like, for example, you learn, and Matt, I'm sure you know this, from your time at Disney, that the Japanese are the most literal people in the world. Like, we would do a thing where we'd be like, hey, we want the title screen for this game to be like this. And, like, you know, like, Logan actually mocked up a Photoshop of the title screen.
They would use my Photoshop sometimes.
They're just trying
like,
to use
the
it.
Worst. I'd be like, hey, can you, like, make the crate just look more like this? And then the next build, it would just be my Photoshop is the texture.
It was like, no. Similar to this. It's just completely literal. So we had Gearbox.
I feel like you came in and built the Aliens Colonial Marines that I played.
Oh, man.
It's a bit rough around here.
You mean Logan did. So they had the Colonial Marines, and they kept sending us stuff, and it was like kind of half-baked, and then we have, you know, here and there. So we went down, actually. We were on a road trip after Logan quit, and they wanted to be like, hey, guys, just check in on this. See what's going on. You know, it wasn't like any red flags were being thrown up. It was just like, oh, you know, you guys are going to be down that area. Just see what's up. See what the game is like. So we went in, and they were showing us it, and they were giving us a little tour. And they're like, oh, you can't go over here, though. There was like a whole section of their studio they had closed off that we couldn't go into. And we're like, oh, well, what's going on? They're like, it's a secret project. I won't tell you what that is. What I think now is the case is I believe that secret project was Borderlands.
Which is what they were probably all working on.
Which is probably what they were doing.
They just took that
aliens money
to the bank.
Yeah,
yep.
I cannot speculate onto their finances, but we basically just got the tour, and they made the right call.
That's for sure. Borderlands.
What
did,
are you saying about Aliens?
Borderlands did not. I'm saying Borderlands did really well on their own IP. Ethically speaking, who knows what went down? Probably not good. But
he told me a really good one of the guys who was giving us a tour. They told me a really good story about Gene Simmons from Kiss. which I don't know if I've related yet to you guys. You heard about this?
No.
So they were working on a KISS video game back in the 90s.
Yes.
And awesome. Again, so sorry, apologies. This story's third hand, but you know, it's the best you can get on the Face Rocker
and
podcast.
20 years too late.
20 years too late. So Gene Simmons, lead singer of KISS, they're working on the KISS game. They finish up, and Gene Simmons says, "Hey, guys, let's all go to the strip club on me." And everyone's like, "All right, that's cool. It's Gene Simmons. It's really cool. Let's go to the strip club, Gene Simmons." He goes to the strip club. They rack up an enormous bill, and Gene Simmons at some point in the night leaves with two strippers, one on each arm, and just pieces out. And see you later. Like, oh, it's Gene's party animal. It's him. Let him go. And they come up with a the bill comes, and the guy signs it, and that's it. And that was it. That was that. And so later – oh, and Gene Simmons, in paying for it, pulls out his custom Gene Simmons KISS card, which is like his, it's just like a special, like,
which he probably just got from like the 1-800 number at the bank. They like just had one at the time. Oh, that's cool.
Awesome. It's me.
Yeah.
Hey, how would you like to customize your card? Have you guys seen those, the card customization things where you can like send in an image and do whatever you want on the credit card?
Yeah, right? Any JPEG will do.
Yeah. I wonder what's the weirdest. There's got to be some weird stuff they get on those. What would you do, Matt?
Well, I don't know what I would
do. On your own custom credit card. The thing about it, every single time you go to a restaurant, you pull it out. What's it on? What's on your credit card, Matt?
It's being me holding some dollar bills.
Just more money.
Just more money.
Me holding money.
That's an arrow pointing this guy. This guy can pay.
What if it's like a Visa card, but you have a like a MasterCard skin put on it?
It's an
Amex
skin. Just
to confuse people?
Yeah.
Just put Yale.
Yale?
Yale? What? I went to Yale.
What message are you sending?
I use the USC. I still use the USC credit union. And every time I use it, people are like, "Hey, like, watch the football game yesterday?" Or some shit. Like, give a question.
Oh, yeah. How do you respond to that question?
Usually, no. It's like, there's a game or some shit like that. Yeah. Like, they're bigger fans
than me. It's not a yes or no. It's what?
What?
What are you talking about? There was a thing?
Oh, there was a game?
Yeah.
No, I just found this. I just stole this. The correct answer is I just stole this.
Yeah. What's the end of this Gene Simmons story?
No, hold on. We're taking a digression. It wouldn't be a Face Rocker podcast without a digression away from the original story. Dez, what would your credit card be?
I think I would put Gene Simmons on there. Why the hell not? It seems completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Gene Simmons pulls out his KISS card and pays for it. Anyway, cut to months later. This guy is at some party, talking to one of the hostesses there, and he's talking to her, and she finds out she worked at the strip club. And he's like, "Oh, do you remember when Gene Simmons came in with a bunch of dudes? Like, we were part of that crowd." And she's like, "That was you guys? You got a girl fired that night." He's like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah. You guys racked up like, you know, thousands of dollars in charges, and Gene Simmons contested the bill. He said he didn't sign for it. And the girl who was in charge of that got fired." And he's like, "This is insane. That's what a crazy story." And it turns out this is like Gene Simmons' MO, man. He will go to the thing, make a big show of paying for it. And then when time comes, someone else signs for it. Hey, that's not his signature.
That's
because he's gone.
Rock and roll.
That is so rock and roll.
Fuck Gene Simmons. Boom.
How's that for? So that's all we got from Gearbox.
That's shitty. I hate that.
They're probably playing his song in the strip club too.
That's shitty.
Oh yeah. No,
everyone's calculating
quick,
their tips in their heads.
Just to cover ourselves really quick, the previous
third
story,
hand.
The previous
so
story
if
could
untrue,
have been complete speculation and could be completely
if untrue,
right.
I retract my statement of fuck Gene Simmons.
But if not, go fuck yourself, Gene Simmons.
Dick.
Could you imagine if Gene Simmons is driving around somewhere listening to this podcast? Have you? Which speaking
it's
of,
funny to imagine Gene Simmons driving around listening to this,
to
podcast.
This podcast.
Speaking of which, have you heard Gene Simmons on NPR?
No.
One of the most incredibly awkward interviews I've ever heard in my life. It's Terry Gross interviewing Gene Simmons. And he is so, like, he hits on her so hard. And it's just so, like, unabashedly sexual towards Terry Gross. You know, "This is fresh air. I'm Terry Gross." Yeah, and she's like, and she doesn't even, like, yeah, I've never seen Terry Gross flummoxed. She has no idea what to do with this guy. And she's so offended by him in, like,
He was strange on Celebrity Apprentice or something. Like, my mom would watch, and I think he was on it 1 year. And it was strange, really gross-looking dude who would just, like, hit on all the girls. And it was really uncomfortable.
Even Matt was uncomfortable. 12-year-old Matt. Was uncomfortable
was
watching Gene Simmons.
12 years ago. Celebrity Apprentice is like a thing that still happens.
Yeah, 15 years ago, I was offended by Gene Simmons on Celebrity Apprentice.
Matt saw the
As I went through puberty, I was like, I think Gene Simmons is disrespecting that woman there. And I was offended.
And choose to live in this fictional reality of yours.
Yeah,
it sounds interesting.
Yeah. That's not what happened.
No.
Anyways.
Movies. Oh. Speaking of movies.
No, wait, hold on.
What?
Did you guys ever listen to Kiss when you were kids?
No, yeah. I was not a Kiss
You
guy.
Did?
Yeah.
My brother bought a Kiss CD. I remember. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's older brothers was like, yeah, man, Kiss is the coolest. Yeah. And I used to read, well, I still do have a subscription to Fangoria magazine. I've had it since I was 12. Mm-hmm. And they'd always plaster Kiss posters in there. And I was like, these guys have to be awesome. Everyone's talking about Kiss. So I bought the best of album. And there's only one good song on there. this is my opinion, obviously, but.
What is the one good Kiss song?
Detroit Rock City.
Party All Night.
Rock and Roll.
Yeah. Party All Night.
Party All Night.
Party All Night.
What's the song?
Rock and Roll All Night Long.
What's that Kiss song?
That's the one song that's worth listening to.
I don't listen to Kiss.
Matt doesn't listen to music, though. Let's back up for a second. Matt, you have this weird thing. Well, you have this weird thing where, one, you don't hear lyrics, and two,
I don't hear lyrics.
You cannot identify.
Wait, what?
Like, I hear them, but I can't tell you a single lyric.
Like, if you want to send, Dez, if you and I wanted to send a coded message to each other, all I'd have to do is pick up a guitar, start strumming it, and sing it to each other, and Matt would be completely unable to understand it.
Mm. I can only like.
There's a guitar out there, actually. Wait, Jimmy, could you, or Alex, grab a guitar? I want to test this out real quick.
No, I mean, I'll hear it if I'm like.
Well, now he's attentive.
Yeah, I mean, I'll sit there.
He's going to challenge us.
No, we're going to grab this. We're going to test this out. But Matt, and also Matt, you can't. You don't
know band names or song names. No,
on, Jimmy's
giving us thumbs up. He's like, yes. I'm like, no, this is a terrible idea for this podcast. Of course, I'm going to understand what you're saying.
Oh, God, it smells like terribleness in here.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty hot.
It's pretty hot.
It's a little hot.
But, no, I've been jamming tunes in the car recently.
All right, what have you been listening to then?
I was listening to The National, some Fleet Foxes. What else?
Okay,
Monster and Men. Fun. Grizzly Bears. Shields. Shields. I even know the album name. Shields, right? Boom. I don't know what else I've been listening to. Oh, David Bowie's new album. Was listening to that.
That suddenly sounds shockingly relevant.
I felt pretty cool because I was listening to.
I think you're just downloading Orange. All the iTunes like.
No, I asked Jimmy. I asked Jimmy and Brian Frenzy for their song Channel Orange. Now I don't know the guy's name.
Frank Ocean.
Yeah. I felt pretty hip listening to that. A few good songs on there from tunes I enjoyed.
You download some Kendrick Lamar.
Who's that?
It's a little gangster.
A little gangster for you, Matt. Just to let you know.
It's a little gangster.
It's a little bit of that rap music.
But it's, you know, some smooth R&B.
Rabbit something. I forget.
Rabbit something.
It's like Tramper.
This is, by the way, this is a man who had Arcade Fire's Neon Bible album in his car, CD, the only thing in his car for how long was that?
I had the three Arcade album Fire.
It was a triple set.
I had all the Arcade albums Fires on my car all the time.
You just had Neon Bible on, and that was the only thing.
You told me Arcade Fire, and then I bought all three albums, and those were the only CDs in my car, and I would listen to them nonstop.
It would be not, no, because we go in their car, and just like every single time, you just
I was just imagining myself in high school driving around like such a D-bag, man.
What did you?
I had one of those touchscreen DVD players in my dash.
Watching movies.
How did you? I would drive around watching music videos. I downloaded music videos and I would burn them to like VCD.
Were you a black rapper in high school?
No, never. I was never a rapper. I was just.
No, I'm just saying.
I was a tech geek. I worked at Best Buy, so I got like 80% off all that cool stuff. So my car was completely tricked out with electronics equipment.
That's awesome.
And I couldn't stop watching movies. Why were we watching music videos
instead of just listening to the music?
Well, because the music video, you get to listen to the music and you have the visuals to go along with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, while you're driving.
Oh, it's very illegal, actually.
For all the fly honeys.
I had that Up in Smoke DVD in there, you know, that Dr. Dre concert album.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I probably put that on like once. Like, yeah, I'm cool. No,
I'm the guy people carpooled and they got in, and I was like listening to like the Glory soundtrack. And they're like, why is there like boys like choir singing and like epic music?
When I'm driving to a party, I'll put
Matt,
on like,
what the hell are you listening to? It's like Angela's Ashes by John Williams. I don't get what beautiful violins.
I'll put on James Horner's Bishop's Escape from Aliens.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell is this percussion nonsense? Oh, this is
my
Aliens.
I had a mix. The only mixtapes I ever made were mixtapes for playing Call of Duty. Which were just combinations.
We are digging into a deep hole of nerddom.
Which were just mixtapes of like epic music from like Glory and Last Mohicans and,
yes.
and stuff like that. And I would turn off the sound in the game.
You know, like most people
and
do
I would
like,
just play.
No way. Most people do like Metallica.
You know, I did do that. I uploaded it to the Xbox when the 360 came out. I uploaded a bunch of Metallica for when I was Call of Duty-ing.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
would be listening.
That's too loud. That's too distracting. I need like Zen, like epic, like
orchestral Hans music. Zimmer music.
Exactly, well, Hans Zimmer, some Crimson Tide. I was really sorry too. It's like Crimson Tide would start the intensity, like get me into the game. And then once you got into it, you get some kind of more intense, like action scores from like The Rock or Last Weekend's always ended.
Those all sound like Crimson Tide, by the way.
They do. All Hans Zimmer stuff sounds very similar. Yeah. The Rock's got some cool stuff in it though. Crimson Tide's his best soundtrack.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I did.
Did the rest? Because Matt used to. You guys may not know this. Matt used to play Call of Duty 2. In
one.
Call of Duty 1.
One.
Semi-professionally?
Semi-professionally? For like a year and a half. Yeah, I mean, semi-professionally.
Were you in Cal or what?
Cal League, yeah. And we had, sponsors, so we had
servers. Who was sponsored you?
I don't even remember, because I wouldn't run it. I was a starter or whatever. I was in this top six.
Starter.
Yeah, I was a starter.
What did you play? What was your...
There's not quote-unquote positions. I wasn't sniper. I would essentially be almost always on the left with the guy's name was Dragon Eddie. So it was mostly me and him.
You and Dragon Eddie holding down the left.
And we played,
can we get Dragon Eddie on the phone?
I wish, dude. Dragon Eddie was like a 40-year-old like alcoholic guy from Texas.
40-year-old meth addict.
Who was the head of the clan. And then there's two guys who were really serious. I'm forgetting their names now. But they went on. This clan split apart because we didn't do like practice every day and stuff like that. We played when we could. They got really serious and there was a whole...
Schism.
The clan broke apart. They asked me to come with them. I didn't because I wanted to do other stuff too. Still playing Smash Brothers. Didn't have time for Call of Duty all
sorry,
the time.
Sorry, guys. But yeah,
I can't dedicate a whole life to one game.
I need to concentrate on Smash Brothers.
I'm sure that was the Fisher. Matt talking about Smash Brothers.
Jeez, Matt, get this guy out of here.
There's this Canadian kid who always caused problems called Egg Roll. He was younger than us. Yeah. And I've actually searched for him. There's a girl.
You searched for Egg Roll.
Yeah, there's a girl sniper called Joanna Banana, and I've talked to her actually somewhat recently.
Whoa, hold on.
It's really weird talking to these people because I haven't. I was talking to this guy named Irwin who's like went in the military and stuff, and the only thing we have in common with each other is we played Call of Duty together like 8 years ago. Yeah. So the weirdest conversations was like hit you up on Facebook, like, hey man, how's it going? It's like, hey.
Hey, remember?
You still play games sometimes? Like a lot? Or no, not so much. Not so much. You know, I've been in the military. Like,
cool,
life changed, married, you know, saw friends die, came back. How you do? It's like I have nothing to say. It's like the weirdest conversation.
You just answered the question you asked. Like I've been playing games.
I play games sometimes too.
Oh, wait, cool. Hold on. You had a girl.
Yeah, it was bad back then. She'd always get like messages from.
Well, they still do.
I'm sure they do.
But where is she now? You said you talked to her recently.
I talked to her a while ago. She went to Virginia State or something. One of my friends had a crush on her.
Virginia State or Virginia.
The tech. No, state. I think state.
Got
serious.
This got really serious, guys.
But yeah, I don't know.
Way to go, man.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Corpse the podcast.
Brought it
wonderful. That egg roll reminds me of like gamer tags and what happened to good gamer tags? Because now it's all about like
they're taken.
They're nowadays the gamer tags all about what it looks like, you know. So there's like lowercase x, uppercase x, lowercase x.
Not still like that back then. People were you if you were cool if you could figure out how to like change the color palette.
Oh yeah, you hacked.
I remember that. Yeah, you could hack and do the color palette. I was like, what?
Just,
like, how do you do that?
It was just a cacophony. Yeah. What was your gamer tag in Call of Duty?
TG Cleric. Like always.
And real quick.
Yeah, or sometimes Sniper Puppies.
Okay.
TG Cleric and Sniper Puppies.
All right.
Those are like the two main ones. For a while, I had like Prisoner K2701 or whatever from Versus.
Whoa.
Yeah.
From
Versus. Oh, whoa. I had that occasionally. TG Cleric's from Equilibrium, and I still use that nonstop. Because I'm not creative in that. So I'm terrible at coming up with names or even thinking about it. I just don't care ever. So I was like, TG Cleric, sure.
Well,
that'll be my name for the rest of my life.
How did you guys come up with those names in... VGHS.
That's
the fake
all
names.
Will and Brian.
Will and Brian.
Yeah.
Those other guys did all that.
Yeah. That's any name that's funny is those guys. I think I had one name I came up with. I can't remember now, and I was so proud.
See, I don't remember any of that stuff. I don't remember my old gamer tag. I don't remember like
your AOL.
What my
username?
AOL Fox my Motor was.
Fox Motor 22 was my first AIM name.
Wow.
Yep. I liked the X-Files.
And the best part is you were what number
show.
And you were the 22nd person who liked the X-Files.
That's my birthday.
22.
Yeah, Fox Motor 22. 22 January. what was your first AOL?
AOL?
Were you on AOL,
us?
By the way? Like on chat rooms and everything?
Yeah, yeah. AOL actually for us since it was a family account. I believe the AOL account was JFTKW. So Jimmy, Freddie, Toya, Kent, Wong. Those are all of our family names, the same letters.
Wow.
And then I remember, I don't remember much, right? But uh-huh. You know how occasionally get those memories that really stick out, and it's just like a really formative experience for you. It's just like, and it's just like, there's no rhyme or reason to it, it just sticks out. I remember being in a chat room once and being like, why is everybody typing colon O, right parentheses? And then one guy goes, turn your head to the left, silly. I was like, what? And I did. And like, it's a smiley face. I was like, I remember figuring that out in an AOL chat room.
Chat rooms are a strange thing. I remember I was really young.
We're dating ourselves
here. I was still Fox. Yeah. I remember
hitting on some Dana Scully.
No, I
remember hitting up the X-Files chat room and hitting up on some Dana Scully. It's just nothing but Fox Mulder. I want to believe Mulder. Scully, Dana.
I definitely talked to one person. Like for a long time, I totally forget, but it was like weird. Like looking back at it now, I was like, that's probably like a weird dude or something who I was talking
to. Yeah, this guy was
really young. I was like 10 years old.
Just furiously beating it while he was talking
to you. Well, could have been. I do remember this is such a, I don't even know why I'm sure. It's just a stupid memory, but I do remember this one situation where I was
he
on
asked
some
me
chat
to
room.
Take off my pants.
Did you get catfished?
it might have been X Files for him. I don't know. But somebody who
was like,
talking.
You ever seen that episode of X Files where the little boy takes off his pants? Somebody...
Let's act it out.
Hey, Fox.
That's not what it was.
Hey, Fox. ASL.
Somebody left, and I pretended they were like, oh my God, they died. And I started doing like, back then, texting was like new. So the idea of like being able to like draw like a cup of coffee was really entertaining.
Right, in ASCII art?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was pretending the guy was dead, and I was like pretending to do CPR, and I was doing all these like pictures, and the whole chat room was laughing their asses off. I remember that like literally made my day, and I still remember it. And I don't know. And I remember, and then I distinctly remember another time later on, probably like a couple months later, where like, I tried the same thing again and it didn't work, and I was like, never do the same joke twice, Matt. It's like the lesson. I remember maybe I just needed a cheer me up that day, but I was so excited. I was like, dude, I ran. I just blew this chat room.
You must
head
have been like
clear off.
It must have been like how like comics feel when they walk into like a room and they're like, I killed in that chat room. ASCII art.
They're all perfectly timed.
All those lols.
Yeah,
all
perfectly timed. Thump on the chest, doing CPR, screaming. Stuff they're laughing.
Wow,
it's bad. I mean, I was like 10. So.
All those LOLs, just a cascade.
Just cascade of LOLs.
And back when LOL actually
people
meant
coming
something.
Into the chat room, I was like, I bet you their friends are calling them, saying, come into the chat room. This kid's killing it. Quickly get
you
in.
You mean
just...
Fox Mulder, who's totally not a kid, who's totally not going to take off his pants later in a private chat, is killing it right
actually,
now.
Actually, I do remember when bots first came in, and I as a kid, I didn't quite get it. I was like, why is this person talking about like Russian prostitutes? And then like over time,
I guess
like,
he really does like
because it was a while because like. Bots didn't show up right away because it was really early AOL. And then and then I started realizing, I was like, wait a second, literally every single person in the chat room is a bot. Like every single
How
person
is
just saying.
How does that feel to walk in there and turn
your
the
world
only human?
Yeah, I did. I was like, I guess AOL chat rooms
maybe
are
that's
dead.
Why your CPR joke didn't work the second time because bots cannot process human.
That was funny. Please come to this website and get your Russian bride. There was, I remember there's a limit on like 50 people per chat room and all stuff. Do you remember that AOL stuff?
Yeah. And then it would splinter off. So you'd be like, oh, West Coast, whatever. And it was like fun and games. And I always felt like, oh, I should go to the fun and games chat because I'm into games and fun. And I remember specifically looking for Sweet Mac games to download. And I felt like, oh, my gosh, 1.2 megabytes? That's way too big to download.
Like, how insane is it, like, AOL CDs? Like, that shows you, like, how different, like, 10 years has... 12 years has been.
Oh, my gosh.
The idea that a company would, one, use CD still to put free trials of essentially an internet browser is so insane.
Well, and the best part about it is 30 megabytes.
Yeah.
Right?
And we totally knew, by the way, how ridiculous it was. Because I remember how many pranks and crap did you do with just getting all the AOL CDs from the local Blockbuster, another relic of the past.
Yeah, we did. There was one summer, that's all we did for about 10 days. We took bikes. We went to every single grocery store. We went to their racks.
Yeah.
We got caught a few times. We stole over 7,430 things. We had ropes. We had like four ropes
of AOL CDs.
And then we went down to the LA River and we just had AOL CD wars where we just chucked them at each other all day.
So you're polluting.
And now they're out of business.
and they're polluting.
All of South Pasadena didn't join AOL because we took all their free trials for about a month.
Mr. President, I don't know what happened. No one can
there's
log
a dark
on
spot.
All CDs.
There's a gap here in this market. Where did all these AOL CDs
There's a very
go?
Dark spot here. We don't understand it, but it appears to wash into the river by this Fox Mulder 22.
I'm afraid we've lost Southern California, sir.
What do we have on this Fox
Mulder
22?
Put more CDs. We need more CDs. Yes.
Abort.
Thank you. More CDs.
What do we have on in this Fox Mulder toy? Well, he exposes himself to older men constantly.
I remember it was me, my younger brother's friend, who was actually a little bit older than he was, and then my younger brother. And my younger brother was obviously the youngest and small, and we'd like kind of force him to like give the AOL CDs on times when we thought we could get in trouble for it. And I remember we went and checked out a movie at Blockbuster, and while we were doing that, he stole all the AOL CDs. And he ran out like such a little idiot, like clearly hiding something. And as he was walking, he's like, you, like, what are you taking? My brother panicked, sprinted out of the store, ran across the street. They chased after him, thinking he stole a bunch of stuff. They get there, they open up his jacket, and he just has all the AOL CDs. Yeah. And he just stares at him with, like, nothing to say. She's like, well, okay.
You can't steal something that's free.
Yeah. So she just, like, walks away. But it's just, my brother's terrified. He's like, I don't know what he thought. He's going to get in trouble for stealing
free stuff. Well, stuff doesn't make sense to you when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
You got all that.
No, you get I mean, adults screaming at you is terrifying as a kid. It's still terrifying.
Still terrifying. Heck, yeah. I mean, Matt, when you scream at me, that's. CDs is interesting that you mentioned because you brought up something earlier about mixtapes and mixtapes CDs for your online gaming sessions. It's weird to me because I was talking to Jen. Jen's like, you know, I realized something. She's like, all these mix CDs in my car, these all represent boys who thought I was hot. Because it's like, that was the thing, right? It's like,
my mix CDs represent too.
But that's what mix CDs were, right? So it's like, that was like the first thing you do. It's like, oh, this girl's kind
of
cute.
I never got into that world of.
You never got to make someone
mix
CDs.
I never made someone a mix CD, you know. A mix tape.
The only mix CD I've ever gotten is Ashley made me a mix CD when we went on to the road trip.
Well, okay, there you go. That's what I'm saying, though. But that's the expression of.
Yeah.
And there's a sort of art to it, too, when you put it together. First of all, a couple things. Number one, you make sure nobody use the computer. Everybody needs to stay 20 feet away from the computer because they get that buffer overflow error. Mm-hmm. Remember when you burned a CD at 1x speed?
Oh, I remember that.
And
yeah.
then, like, you do any. Day. If anything you did, it was just like your computer's at buffer overflow. Like, what happened? I don't even know what this means. What's a buffer? How can it overflow? So it's just like, I'm burning a CD. Everybody stay back. Everybody stay 20 feet back from this. Nobody's touching it. Nobody even come to the same room. You're like, I'm going to turn off the monitor just in case the monitor is somehow causing this to not burn a CD. And there's an art to it because it would be just like mixtapes. You'd order the tracks in a flow of things. Mm-hmm. Then all these damn iPods and the shuffles. Like, what do you do now? What do you do now if it's like, hey,
make baby. Playlists?
Do you like send them a playlist? Hey, baby, check out my Spotify playlist. I think you're.
I mean, that's what I did. It's not like I mixed. It's not like I made myself a mix CD, burnt it, and then popped it into a CD player and played Call of Duty.
Because that's what
I had. I had a Winamp playlist.
Oh, remember those Winamp skins?
Yep. Oh, I had some sweet coolest skins.
Oh,
some Star Wars
really
skins,
Terminator skins, and just like some random alien skins.
Yeah, just had crazy skins. Sometimes they had to pay for skins. It's like, screw it, I'm going to pirate this skin.
Remember we had an Aerosmith
skin? Thus began Matt's long career of online piracy and thievery.
I think you really had to be there to really feel like what it was the first time when you got Napster. It's really, it's like people, like,
it's different. Really, and I can tell you that Jimmy and I, we were really early because one of our friends was at Penn. At college, right? And his was one of the earlier colleges that got it. And he was like, dude, you got to check out this thing called Napster. I remember going on and being like, oh, because we had DSL connection. And even at that time, and nothing has ever gotten to that, like, it's like the first hit of meth. It's like nothing ever reaches that high again.
Well, what people don't realize, when Napster first started, there wasn't even like, it was still like a big deal if like your school or restaurant had like a website even.
Yeah.
Like it was like – not everything was online yet.
Yeah.
So the idea of like that you could just type into Wikipedia and get all the information in the world hadn't existed yet. You still went to the library and stuff. So the idea – when because my neighbor was like a big like hacker and was programming, was doing like some of the first early 3D – like the very first version of Maya.
He even made a few Winamp skins.
He probably did. He knew of Napster right away. Like he came in, he's like, dude – like he like knew the people like that were doing it and everything.
Yeah.
So it was – we were in the first people, like the idea that we just typed in like a movie or a song
or let's be honest, a video game soundtrack
and the idea that just hundreds of versions of it appeared and you could just get it was unreal.
You know,
like,
that you know
the idea that I was dealing with even like didn't even occur to you because it'd be like, would you think it was like again, like it's so out of the world that you didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, you're right.
Thievery
never occurred to me.
Yeah, it was just like, what is
this? Is
this
some cool new future tech?
Did you know that Steve B from IMS he claims to be the guy who accidentally introduced the practice of putting in static to fake songs.
What do you mean to fix songs?
You remember when you were like, at a certain point in Kazaa, right? Where you download something and then it would start. You'd be like, all right, this is the song. And then go,
15 seconds in, it would just be shedding.
Yeah.
He was the one who did that accidentally because they had like a web forum. They like, tell us your best ideas to stop piracy. And he was like, what if it was just the same song, same file size, but then 15 seconds in, it went to static. And he submitted that. Uh-huh. And he got a response back, an email chain between him and like some dude at the RIA. He was like, this is interesting, actually. We're looking into this. And he's like, I think I did it. I think I was the one that ruined.
I remember those.
That's so much work, though. So inefficient.
And they put it up, and it's like a dummy.
Let's re-edit every song ever.
I mean, they just need to do one.
They just need to do one. They just need to do one.
Because it gets passed around.
Because it gets passed around. And they have all they got them thick pipes, them hot pipes.
And you're all
checking. So it gets passed around.
And you're all checking, like, oh, well, this song. Then you have to,
I know,
like,
you have
start
to do it for every song.
I'm sure that they had interns sitting there with whatever the version of Pro Tools they had.
Crazy, I mean, it's pretty clear you can't stop it, so it happens.
Well, but it was interesting because you never see this anti-piracy technique anymore, right? To bring this all the way back to SimCity.
Some games do it, and that's the better way of doing it. No, Disney's thing.
Yeah.
It was NDA, you couldn't.
But when's the last thing? I'm saying, like, when's the last thing? Like, what's the last game that did a form of piracy control that just made it inconvenient for you?
So the big one, I'm sure there's other stuff, but the big one was in Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
There's one jump.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a bottleneck. You have to make this jump to continue on the game. And if you had the pirated version, all it would do was change the gravity or the distance just slightly enough that Batman could never make the jump.
No way.
And,
no way. This sounds like one of those. This sounds like one of those stories that you hear from your friend,
at
Nintendo.
That's what they did. It's a good distance too. It's about 6 hours in the game, so it's definitely pretty shitty if you can't beat. It's like halfway through the game, and it was on forums. People were like, hey, I can't beat this jump, and then like the Arkham Asylum, like one of the guys was like, yeah, because you pirated the game, you dick.
You can look up
the Arkham Asylum. And Disney, when I was there, they started doing it for all the DS games because obviously DS piracy is huge deal in Japan.
Super easy.
What those things are called, R5s or something
the R5.
I forget what it's called. But yeah, they we would do stuff like that all the time where it's like, oh, okay, if it's pirated.
Or R4, I don't remember.
R4.
R4.
If it's pirated, like, an hour into it, this would happen. Or you couldn't double jump, which wouldn't matter at the beginning of the game. But like little things like that were the way to stop piracy because it was becoming inconvenient.
I remember the original Operation Flashpoint put a thing up that was like, if this is pirated, this game will slowly degrade. Like, the performance will get worse and worse.
Uh-huh.
And I remember someone saying that's like, actually, it didn't. It was just coded so poorly that would happen anyway.
So
it just make people who pirate it just really worried, like, oh gosh, this is going to get worse. My frames per second ain't going to keep up anymore. But they never do that anymore. I'm saying, like, you don't ever see that as the thing, which is essentially.
No, it's mostly DRM.
Which is make it more inconvenient. See, I'd be all down with all these anti-piracy measures if they were hilarious. Like, guess what? Every so often, and like, the big one was Escape Velocity, which was a Mac and I think a PC game now, but it was a top-down space sim where you just float around, you trade the stuff. If you didn't pirate, if you pirated it, or if you went past the sort of shareware point, the cat, like this, oh man, I don't remember the name, but the dude would come and just kill you. There'd be a bad guy in a spaceship who's basically unstoppable and just kill you. And it'd be like, that's it, you can't escape from him. Captain Hector.
But you can play if you want, but you're screwed or whatever.
You'll do two jumps and then you'll get killed. Like I want to see that for SimCity. I don't want to see like, oh, we want it all online. No, I just want to see if it pirates and detects that it's pirated, it'll just send meteor showers on your city, but it would wait until your city's like really
your
awesome.
Your unemployment goes up. This is really serious, devastating.
It just does it does a financial crisis from another part of the world.
Do they have a SimCity zombie build?
Zombies are a disaster in SimCity. Yeah.
They're a new disaster?
Yes, I believe
That's cool. Okay.
Cool.
I may still play the broken version.
Everyone's holding out. They're like, I hope that this version of SimCity gets fixed by Maxis.
Yeah, like Spore got fixed.
Spore got fixed this weekend, is it not? They're out of luck.
Yeah.
They're what?
Maxis is this weekend, I believe, right?
Maxis?
Yeah.
Maxis the company is this weekend?
You've made a nonsensical statement.
I'm confused.
Oh, I was thinking of NAB, this other company. Never
heard. Okay, I was like, what?
Cut all that out.
Cut it out.
God, snip. I love that the podcast is literally filled with just calls out. Like, just cut this part out.
It'll never get cut because everybody hears it. It requires us to hire someone to do that.
To actually care enough about it.
So Frank's just on Reddit now. He's just given up on this. How long have we been doing this?
Are you bored already? This is like our one big comeback podcast. We're at 45 minutes.
Thank you, Alex.
And you're bored of this already?
No, I'm not bored. I was wondering how long I've been bored.
It's the heat.
The heat is knocking me out right now. We're really missing out. We should have done a list of stuff to talk about.
Well, where's Logan? We could text him. And
I asked him to text us a list. He refused.
Yeah, he got
it was sort of like a spiteful move on his part. I'm not going to be there. No list.
Logan's busy working and stuff. It's a problem. He's harder to get hold of.
You know what we should talk about?
What happened to his DJing? We'll wait for Logan.
In fact, we'll wait for Logan for that. No. I will give you a little tidbit what happened to DJ Shock and Awe, DJ Logan. I got an email the other day from him saying, hey, do you want to buy my DJ thing from me? It ended like so many of Logan's experiments do, with him selling everything he bought and moving on with his life.
I still have a tattoo machine he gave us.
His junk became my junk.
Yeah, apparently.
Back up. Tattoo, like a real tattoo.
Like a real working tattoo. The box, you should see this box. It's a cardboard box, perfectly square, with a piece of white, like printer paper, taped to the front of it, scotch tape, and it says working tattoo machine. And it's now in a closet.
No way.
In my apartment. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried it?
No, I haven't tried it. How am I going to try a tattoo gun?
That's the problem with tattoos. You can't just try them.
Right.
How would you know if it's a permanent thing? You should sneak up on Benji and give him a tat.
Tat.
Yeah.
That's danger.
Would you ever get a tattoo, Matt?
No, I wouldn't.
Your girlfriend's covered in them.
Yeah, my girlfriend's covered in tattoos. Logan just walked in. We should get him in here. Logan, get in here. Get in here.
Logan, we're talking about your DJing.
But you have a tattoo, right? And Benji does. Yeah. You both have the same.
It's one of those high school mistakes.
Yeah. So couldn't you test it again in that same tattoo area?
That's true. You just go
in
over.
The same area? That's like my notepad.
It's just equivalent to like
human flesh
notepad. Just going over the lines with a darker
pen. You have to have some sort of proper removal system by now, right?
For tattoos?
Yeah, there's tattoo removals.
I'm holding out for.
What are you talking about? Like lasers and really expensive crap?
If you can get like a removal gun for $100, no. And you get a tattoo gun for $100.
They're really painful. Logan didn't come in. I've been watching him in the monitor, and he came in, he waved, and then he left.
All right, real quick. Oh, it reminds me. Logan coming in reminds me of a game. And I got one. You ready? Mm-hmm. Have we done this one yet? The Harrison comparison?
I believe we have.
Have we done the Harrison comparison?
What is it?
Cue it up.
It's the it's like Choose Your Cruise or Cage Rage. It's pick your favorite.
Our favorite Harrison?
Your head to Harrison comparison.
Harrison doesn't quite.
Oh, come on.
I mean, you're comparing what?
His movies to his other movies. And which one's your favorite of his movies? Okay. Come on, Matt.
I mean, also, it'd be
Have we done the Harrison comparison?
Yeah, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably not my favorite of him. I mean, probably my favorite, like, pure, as far as like pure Harrison. It's definitely Air Force One, but the best movie.
I was going to say Air Force One would be my number three. Yeah, maybe Empire. You know what?
This is going to be really bad if we've already done this and everyone is sitting here, fans who have listened to the podcast
screaming, Matt,
over and
you
over.
You don't say Air Force One. Your favorite's in the
Temple of Doom Harrison is in my top three.
Oh, Temple of Doom Harrison is great. By the way, Temple of Doom would be great.
Directed by David Lynch.
Yeah, it would be a great remix. But Temple of Doom freaking rocks and is better than Last Crusade.
That was the first Indiana Jones film I saw, actually.
Mm-hmm. My favorite
Raiders
as a kid.
Was the last of the trilogy that I saw.
Still some of the best action he's ever done.
The only one that I've ever had was Temple of Doom. And it was the only one on VHS, so I just watched it over and over again, and it would just screw me up. It was such a weird movie. Dude, the monkey brains.
Pulling hearts out and...
Yeah.
The mine car chase is better than anything in Last Crusade.
Kalima up today.
Yeah, whoa. Crazy stuff.
Whoa.
What?
Kicking it old school there, it is.
It's nuts.
Oh, the Kalima. He's a dangerous man.
I like that it just wasn't the same. Like, Last Crusade was the same thing. It was like some religious artifact. Temple of Doom was like some crazy, like, regenerate the earth with three magical stones from like a cult. It was awesome.
When's the last time you've seen, like, imagine if Hunger Games, the next one, was just like full dark 180. Not to say that Hunger Games is
everything's full dark 180 now.
I mean, it already starts there.
Well, yeah, Hunger Games already there.
Like in Narnia, the second
Narnia. It'd be more like the second one is like awesome, cheesy, Sam Raimi-esque, like colorful. If all of a sudden the next Hunger Games was, that's what would be radical. Yeah. Everything's all, if it's dark and gritty and serious, it's cool and more sophisticated.
Duh. Now, I mean, why do you think Dark Knight's the best movies ever made, Matt?
That's so cool. It's so serious.
Speaking of Raimi and
remakes. Take our stupid comics and make it super serious so we feel good about how much.
It's a justification. It's a justification. Speaking of Ramian remakes, Dez, I want to hear your thoughts on the new Evil Dead.
I haven't seen it. It's not out yet. I paid no attention to what was happening. I haven't read a thing about it. I really couldn't care less until we saw Spring Breakers the other night, and I saw extended trailer for The Evil Dead.
Yeah. I read it's so okay, but I hear the gore is amazing.
I give kudos to the marketing department because now I want to see it, and I have started to read some a few like preview reviews, and I guess the gore is supposed to be
fantastic.
Supposed to be
most of that. It's kind of like whatever, but the gore is like the best.
You guys are perverts.
Gore, I just have a, cool gore I have a soft cool. spot for old school really practical well done, cinema yeah. effects. You know,
when's the last movie that really did that?
I
mean, there's Piranha, most low
Piranha
budget horror.
3D.
I mean, as far as gore effects, yeah,
Piranha 3D. Was 3D
they use like 500 gallons of these, like two tanker trucks.
There's a lot
full
of CG,
of blood
but
on
that,
movie. That
sequence down on the beach was
incredible.
Amazing.
The guy getting torn
amazing.
In half.
Amazing. There's some
you know, you're seeing a lot
effects.
More practical effects in action films
nowadays.
In the last couple of years,
it's coming back a bit.
Yeah,
they're trying to come back to like the 80s, like. Like buff dude with guns, which isn't quite working. It doesn't really
because you don't have anybody who can do that.
Well, yeah.
Anymore.
Well, one, you don't really have the stars.
Yeah, name
one
guy who looks like.
But
you
also don't. What everybody's struggling with is what those movies are struggling with is we don't really have a bad guy, and we're a little more. That's what was good about Bond. Bond did a good job of kind of moving. It became much
it's
more modern.
A,
and that's
a
personal vendetta, and it's very.
It's a different
like, honestly, sensitive
generation.
Sort
those
of action
movies
movie.
Don't. Those action movies in the '80s don't yeah, really you, apply.
Well, we're a little more sophisticated now in that, like, you can't just do a movie where like a really buff dude just murders 800 ethnic or foreigners in the name of America. Like, it doesn't quite work anymore.
The collateral damage.
Yeah, it's like now it'd be like a guy going to save a mission from like from a warlord or something, and then
yeah,
like
some African
and then
warlord.
Selling the story to the New York Times at the end is like what it would have to be now.
That sounds like a heart. And Matt, is it hand, it's shaky cam the whole time?
Shaky cam.
It's
the whole
really
time.
Dark and serious.
Really dark and serious.
I think Christian Bale as
do
the
it.
Missionary. Who goes
but
to save?
In order to sell, it'd be in a suit, like a bat suit.
Oh, then, so he's like a superhero who like only superhero. Fights African warlords.
Yeah. But we're going to take the superhero genre seriously because we want to really explore what it would really be like if somebody really dressed up in an outfit and really solved and fought criminals.
I actually know some stories about that, about Phoenix Jones, one of the only real-life superheroes.
Well, he's from Seattle, right?
In Seattle, yeah.
Is it just like The Dark Knight Rises?
It is. Imagine.
It's just right, like that.
Let me just set the table.
He has an H4.
Let me just set the table for you gents. Imagine Dark Knight Rises, but a whole lot. Instead of like fighting crime, it's calling taxis for drunk girls.
Right.
That's pretty much what it is.
Well, and then
it
just
is.
Sitting in a jail cell, right? Because he's breaking the law?
No, actually, from what I've heard through the rumor mill, one of the first people that he like vigilante saved was a high-end like law firm person who now gives him free legal advice.
Yeah, they like protect them.
Yeah.
It's pretty smart.
That's not a bad first
good story.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sure,
but generally it's a lot of. But yeah, generally it's a lot of sitting around on the
that's
police
what it,
scanner.
That's what it would. That's what it's like to be a real superhero.
See, I mean,
you have a lawyer.
Thought,
I have a lawyer.
A super lawyer.
He represents
yeah, the
me.
Bar association is like, actually, guys, the real superheroes are the lawyers, the defenders of the legal system. Can we get a?
I took this drunk person's keys away, and now they offer me free legal advice.
But that's
cue my anthem.
Exactly. See, I thought Kick-Ass was like the best like balance of it was ridiculous and cartoonish,
but then occasionally
it
gets
felt,
stabbed.
It felt to me that movie feels
stabbed.
More real and not to mention like more insightful and intelligent than any of the which I like the Nolan Batmans, but like that movie had a lot going on and like it'd be silly and then all of a sudden like a dude would get burned alive
or a guy gets stabbed
and gets stabbed. Exactly. So like, really intense and real, but it's a good balance where it's like it's as opposed to just like everything's in
I
a great palette.
I still want to make the mega edit of all the movies that use the. This has gotten blank million hits on YouTube as a plot device because that one uses it and does
it
pretty stylishly.
Yeah.
But then you start to think about it's like how many movies have
that's the thing now
a plot device of like this video's going viral, guys. The next plot point can go forward because of it.
I mean, it's the new. You got put on the. This is on the front page.
Yeah,
you know, is what it is.
It's on
the new
front page of YouTube.
When was the last time you've seen this hit the front page of the newspaper? I don't think that's been done. I haven't seen that in a movie or TV show in
that would
8
be good.
Years.
That would be good though. If you
like the spinning newspaper.
Yeah. When was the last time it happened? Nobody gives a shit.
Well, there needs to be a scene that starts off like, Chuck, did you see this? You made the front page of the New York Times. Like, who gives a fuck?
Actually, you know they did. If I could shoot down your theory, I did see that in House of Cards.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Oh, but House of Cards is about a bunch of...
Oh, and look at the story.
Yeah, but House of Cards is a bunch of old people in Washington showing up on newspapers.
You're right.
And
there was,
who cares?
There wasn't a single laptop or, like, tablet PC.
No, there is, except the problem with House of Cards is that it's entirely, like, completely dated, like, references to, like... online stuff. It's really, it's pretty bad.
So somebody should do it like where you do the spinning like newspaper thing and then the camera pulls out and it's like on a dude's iPhone.
It's an app.
It's just like an app.
Hey, have you seen this new spinning newspaper store. App? It's amazing.
It pulls out and it's an iPad and then that pulls out and it's a laptop.
Yeah, it pulls out.
And that pulls out, it's a smart TV in a guy's living room.
He's tweeting it from his TV.
It's just a ball of energy and it's gone. It's like, I see a hole. Yeah.
That would be...
That's how we end the podcast.
The end.
The spinning logo.
We spin out to God.
Boom.
That's horrible. This is the worst ending.
It's all of our podcasts are going to end. Now, instead of just like taking it and embracing what we said, now it's just going to kind of peter out.
Right. There's no yes and here with Freddie Wong.
Yeah, no yes and.
Is that what you're supposed to do with improv?
It's you got to support. You got to support us, Freddie.
All right, fine. Well, hey, Alex,
here we go.
Bully
Freddy.
So
let's do it the way we want to do it.
I've been browbeaten to submission. How long have we been running here?
Long enough.
Oh,
all right,
God.
We're almost at an hour, which, by the way, having in the time...
by the way, I wish we had video in here. You could see us just perspiring. There's
it's
puddle on the floor.
How long have we been in here? Well, I hope this was
time.
Worth your time,
well,
listeners.
Hold on. Let me...
Dude, listen to this.
Let me just say, in the time...
I almost blacked out. I laughed so hard. It's so hot. Oh.
In the time between our little hiatus, I was starting to look at... I looked at some podcasts and started listening to them and be like, what's up? An hour long for a podcast is pretty long for a podcast.
Yeah, people do like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
People do 30 minutes with more content, better structure, and everything. We
awesome
just,
guests.
We just ramble for an
things
hour.
To talk about.
Don't sell ourselves short, Matt. Nowhere else can you come to get the loud, obnoxious stream of consciousness, unintelligible commentary that we offer here on a hopefully week-by-week basis. So,
all right.
So everybody, thank you so much for listening. We are back and we're going to be more consistent than before now that we have our stuff figured out. And also we're going to have a number of other podcasts as well. We have ours, of course, where we'll be bringing on guests here and there. Jimmy and Benji are doing one called The Modern Man
Podcast,
where they're going to talk about dating advice. Is that what really is happening?
That's one of many things.
I've yet to hear
anything. It's a podcast that's recording now, still in the development phase.
What does that mean?
They're working it out.
On the air.
On the air, live. You guys see this get shaped by two geniuses.
Well,
of
Jimmy's
something.
I believe Jimmy's taken tweet suggestions,
requests?
Tweet requests for the show, yeah. Tweet.
Okay. All right. And Logan's, of course, the Futurism podcast.
The Futurist.
Futurist.
The Futurist.
Okay.
Talking about the future.
So we're going to have a whole bunch of other podcasts. This isn't going to be the only one. So guys, check out the site, rocketjump.com, where all of this stuff is going to live, and you'll get a little more insight into what we're doing. Until then, see you guys next week. This is Freddie.
It's Matt.
And Dez.
Hope you've enjoyed it.
You
see
did.
You next week.
Bye.